I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this very special episode of Come for Supper, the Stay Home Edition. I'm Alexandra Dudley, food writer, podcaster, and serial dinner party host. But like most of us, I've been spending a lot more time at home and a lot more time in my kitchen, and it's made me wonder, what's everyone else up to? For the next few weeks, we'll be going into the homes, virtually of course, of some of my favourite cooks, creatives, writers and photographers to find out how they're spending their time during a global pandemic. TV tips, must-read books and store cupboard recipes that will hopefully inspire some of us to have a little more fun while staying at home. I hope you enjoy this episode and thanks for listening. This week, I speak to one of my favourite food writers and authors, Emiko Davies, who is coming to us directly from Florence. Are you there, Emiko?
I am. Hi, Alexandra. Yay. Thank you for having me.
How are you? I know that there's been some news about some lifts of the lockdown measures in Italy.
Yeah, yesterday, which was the 4th of May, we had our very first restrictions lifted in basically two months. And so now people can go and visit their relatives, just one at a time. and you know, their boyfriends or girlfriends who they haven't seen for the last 2 months. And a few of the parks have been opened. Baby steps, but, you know, a few extra liberties.
And how have the last 2 months been for you?
I feel very grateful for the situation we've been in. I've been in lockdown with my husband, Marco, and my two little girls who are nearly two and seven. We've been homeschooling, and I think the little one is like, this is her dream scenario. Everybody's at home and her sister's here all day. So she's just happy. And Marco works in hospitality, so he's he's not going back to work until they open restaurants, which may be sometime in June or something. And so for him, it's been a bit of a break from a really, really hectic, heavy on the night time work. He would usually be, you know, working till 2 or 3 in the morning and then, getting woken up by little girls waking up early in the morning. So in a way, having him at home has been really a blessing. And he's in charge of the homeschooling, and I've been getting on with
some work. Oh, interesting. I was going to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been his job for the last 2 months. And we have, we've got a very, very small, tiny flat in the hills in Florence, but we've got an outdoor space, which has been amazing. So we can kind of, stretch our legs when we need to and send the kids outside when they need to, so that we don't all go crazy. And I feel really, really grateful for our situation, because it's been manageable, and at times actually it's been kind of a blessing in disguise for us all to be together and have Marco at home. That's been really special.
Yeah, I bet that's nice. Yeah. And do you think your seven-year-old has noticed it, or do you think she's aware of the kind of unsettling climate, or does it just feel like a two-month holiday?
So she's definitely like into the no school thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I really love like homeschool. We should do homeschooling all the time. But I think that she is really missing her her school friends, missing any friends at all, mm-hmm. and being isolated from kids her age, I think has been really hard. And I think actually the homeschool, like having the parent do the schooling, is kind of taking its toll, because whenever she gets frustrated, it's like, she wouldn't get frustrated maybe with the teacher, you know, like with one of us, she does. And it's, but yeah, so it's a little bit harder. It's hard for the parents too, because, you know, we don't teach second graders normally. So it's a job, you know, so we're out of our comfort zone teaching.
But she has been doing lots of cooking. I was going to say, so she's going to be cooking. The next chef in the family. And she's practically, she's a TV star now with her, your recipe videos with her. Yeah. She's brilliant on it.
Cooking has been our like salvation during this lockdown. It's been our main form of entertainment, really, for everyone in the family, even Luna. We basically, I mean, I think like most people, when, you know, during this time, we've been, we base our day around what are we going to cook today? what are we going to eat? But usually it's what are we going to cook? It's usually cooking is like a project that we're going to do that day. We're not picking something that's just going to take 5 minutes, because that would kind of defeat the purpose of entertaining ourselves for a couple of hours. So, you know, we sort of pick these big projects. Let's do this thing that's going to take all day, or let's make pasta, or let's make bread, let's make you know, all these kind of things. And that's what's been keeping us going, I think.
Do you think there's been a kind of store cupboard or staple recipe? I mean, I've been following and obviously have seen all the incredible things that you've been cooking, but is there something that maybe you're returning to time and time again that's maybe a kind of a bit of a recipe nugget for our listeners?
Well, I have to say we do eat a lot of pasta, and
in Italy.
we're in Italy, you know, pasta every day is not like a strange thing here. So, and I mean, the great thing about pasta is it's always like a store cupboard meal, even if it's just like one of my daughter, Mariu, one of her favorite dishes is pasta in bianco, which is just the, you know, spaghetti or whatever pasta, with cooked and then dressed with olive oil and Parmesan cheese. It's called in bianco. It's white. It doesn't have any sauce on it. And, it's kind of like the, you know, like aglio olio peperoncino, which is garlic and chili and olive oil. That's like one of the ultimate store cupboard, you know, cupboard sort of meals. And so tasty and so quick, and you don't really need, you know, you can practically have a bare fridge and still make that, and make a, you know, have a really satisfying, comforting dish. And yeah, I mean, not that we eat that all the time, but sometimes that's just like just hits the spot. That's what you want, just something really, really, really simple. And
have you had a shortage of flour there? Zero flour.
Regular flour for the first few weeks was like hard to get. It just flew off the shelves, and then I think they had, you know, trouble restocking it. But we've just been actually buying all the other flours that you can get. So we've been making, Marco has like launched himself into this whole sourdough thing and he has been like we've actually run out of sourdough starter. You know how most people are like, what do I do with the sourdough?
Too much.
We're like, oh my God, we don't have any left, because we've been baking and so much. We've been making pizza and bread and doing all kinds of things.
So delicious.
So we've been basically baking with all kinds of other flours other than just plain flour. So we've been using a lot of semola in to bake bread with, like, which is similar to the bread that comes from Puglia. It's made with semolina.
Slightly yellower.
The durum wheat. And it's really flavorful and really delicious. So we've been using semola because that seems to be on the shelf, and a lot of ancient grain sort of flours, faro.
Delicious.
And and some other ones. So wholemeal, we seem to be able to like easily find wholemeal flour, so we've been using that, and that's been good, because, you know, we probably would have just stuck with the regular flour, but we've been experimenting with all these different things. And it's been tasty.
And other than cooking, has there been anything else that you've been kind of filling your time with? I mean, obviously you have two children, but maybe there's books or something you're watching or listening to.
I have to say, with the kids here like 24/7. A lot of the extra things that I've had time for has been doing things with the girls, and books. I haven't had a chance to read many books. I'm slowly going, like, trying whenever I can. I slip in like a couple of pages. I can never get more than a couple of pages at a time. So I've got like my one book by the bed that's I'm like snail pace reading. But with the girls, we've been trying to, you know, I've been trying to keep Mariu in particular entertained. Luna's pretty much entertained just by hanging around with whatever we're doing. She sort of, she just fits in, the little one. But Mariu and I have been doing a lot of projects. We've got a little gardening project on the go where we basically, this was simply just to not have to leave the house and like go and buy something. Also because the girls, we have never taken out to the shops or anything. They literally haven't left our street, not our street in 2 months. And so we went for a rummage through the pantry and found whatever seeds we had. So like I had some fennel seeds and coriander seeds. We rummaged through the dry legumes and got some cannellini beans, dried beans and dried chickpeas and a few other bits and pieces that we found, you know, in the little spice rack. And we planted them just to see, you know, if anything would come up. And it's amazing, but like it's been a couple of weeks and I actually had given up hope, but now like all of a sudden everything has just like shot up and we've got this little garden out the front here. We've got like a shared courtyard, so we've just got things in pots. But there's like chickpeas growing everywhere now, and these
so cool beans.
It's really cool, actually. So that was a project that we started doing, and now we're going to like move the seedlings into something a bit bigger. And we've got some other. We're usually doing some kind of a craft activity most days. So our last project is making a cardboard fridge with like cardboard items to put inside. I'm looking at it now.
I did see both of them in something cardboard. I think it was a giant box where they kind of shut you out. They were like, this is our home.
Yeah,
now,
they were so. Like, no, mummy, leave us alone. We don't want you to come in here. Yeah, it's one of those ridiculously huge boxes that they send something really small in and it's like a massive box. So Marco, you know, helped cut a door and a window and it's got like a shelf inside. And because we've been out and I don't want to have to like go out to buy like art supplies or whatever, we've just been making things with whatever we have around the house, especially, you know, the things in the recycling, like the cardboard and, you know, old bottles, plastic bottles and things like that. Mm-hmm. We've just been playing, you know, with what we find around the house, which is, I think, what we used to do as kids as well. I mean, much more than, you know, going out and buying a new toy or even going out and buying, you know, fancy crafts and stuff. We just like make do with, you know, with what was in the garden, what was in the house.
What's around.
Yeah. And so that's been really good. I mean, they have fun. They have fun anyway. I mean, one day actually this was before we planted the legumes, but I just took a whole bunch of dry goods that I had, like rice and farro and beans and all these different things that were sort of different shapes and different colors, and I just put the picnic blanket down outside in the courtyard and like let them go to town with it. And we started off making like little designs, you know, on the ground with them, like flowers and whatever else, and spelling out letters, mm-hmm. and then they just played with it and made a mess, and a lot of those ended up being planted. But that took up like an entire afternoon. That was like a good few hours of playtime with just, you know, some things from the house. So I think that's definitely been good for them, good for us, just to get back to that instead of like, here's the iPad, let's put on a cartoon.
It's much nicer.
And
is there anything that you're kind of particularly missing being in lockdown? Like, where's the first place that you're maybe going to go to once you can? Restaurant, or it could be a wine bar, or anything, once the kind of sanctions are lifted more?
So I think the thing that I'm absolutely missing the most is going to the bar. So in Italy, the bar is not like a place for drinking, or you can in the evening, but it's really the place that you go to for a coffee and a pastry mm-hmm. in the morning. So like our closest, we have a really, really great pasticceria bar down the road, and I am really, really missing their sfogliatelle and just like a cappuccino in the morning and going there and just getting that. I just love that whole ritual, you know, standing at the bar and drinking your coffee and having the pastry and you just standing there. And the whole thing only takes, you know, 5 minutes. But it's one of those things that is not the same when you recreate it at home. I mean, I could spend all night making the pastry and doing it here, but it's still not the same as just going down to the bar and having a coffee there. I think that's what I really, really miss the most. And then that will be the first thing when those places open again. I mean, I don't think it'll be the same. These bars are normally like, you know, two or three rows in for the coffee before you order. So it might be a completely different experience for a while, but it'll still be nice.
Yeah, hopefully soon. I'm definitely missing my kind of coffee shop rituals and just the kind of act of, also the smells, I think, of being in that environment.
Absolutely.
You can smell the coffee and you can hear the kind of, I don't know, whooshing
the
of
clutter
the milk,
and
you can hear it all. Yeah, it's all of it. It's all that, it's like bustle, hustle and bustle and life, I think, isn't it? And if you could be stuck in isolation with anybody other than your incredible family, maybe if you could have someone join the family for maybe a week or so, who would you bring to the house?
I'm actually totally missing my mum at the moment. And I was reminiscing about this because around two years ago exactly this time of the year, my mum came and I was heavily pregnant with Luna. And she came for a 3-week visit, and she was here for when Luna arrived, and she was here for like a couple of weeks after, and cooking the most amazing food for me and tidying the house. I'd get up in the morning and it was like a fairy had like magically tidied the whole house. It was amazing.
Wow.
And and so now, like in May, when the weather turns like this, I was just thinking about when my mum was here. Yeah, if I could pick anyone, I'd have mum come over and cook some nice Japanese food for me.
Yum.
I mean, I'm loving cooking and it's been great, but sometimes it's kind of nice to have a break and have your mum cook for you.
Do you think you'll take anything away from this time that you'll kind of carry on into post lockdown?
I think one of the things I feel has been like actually a benefit for us, or for me in particular, is that everything slowed right down, and suddenly, like, not having anywhere to go and not having Marco having to rush off to work or appointments and other things, we really, like, our whole pace even at home, just everything slowed down. And I realized that I was always in a rush. I was always rushing around. We were always rushing, mm-hmm. going somewhere, trying to get things done, trying to get errands done before Marco, you know, would go to work, and juggling the girls. And for some reason, we were just always out all the time and rushing somewhere, always in a rush.
Yeah.
And so in lockdown, you know, obviously that just suddenly disappeared. And I've really sort of enjoyed taking things a bit slower and having like a slower pace. And I think that that's actually been a really good thing to learn how to do again. And just,
Well, thank you so much, Miko. It was so lovely to chat to you. And thank you for coming on.
It was lovely to chat to you. Thank you, Alexandra.
For anybody who isn't already following along with your recipes and writings, where can people catch up on everything that you're cooking?
I have a website, which is emikodavies.com, and I post recipes and travel guides and other little thoughts and bits and pieces there, and also on Instagram at emikodavies. Yeah.
And you have three cookbooks as well, don't you?
I do, yes. I have Florentine, which is a book about Florentine cuisine, and that came out a few years ago, but it's coming out in a new edition in March next year as well. Very exciting. And Acquacotta, which is about Southern Tuscany's cuisine and on the cuisine of the coast and the islands in Tuscany. And Tortellini at Midnight, which is the last book, which came out exactly a year ago.
So lovely. Wonderful. Well, fab. Thank you so much. It was so brilliant to chat to you.
Thanks so much.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.